Well, thanks, youth worship team. Do you appreciate these guys?
Awesome.
I do too. And they will just keep getting better and better and better. So we're in the season of Lent, and we're going through a series. The series is titled The Least of These, and that's based on Matthew 25, what we read at the very beginning of the service and the call to worship. And so we're going, each week, we're kind of devoting time to different aspects of this passage. So the first week, we talked about the hungry and thirsty. And the sermon title was, I Was Hungry and Thirsty. And last week, Xander preached up here. How did Xander do? Do you want him to go ahead and preach today? You ready? You good? Spirit of God, baby. Got to be ready. All right, so he preached on the topic of I Was a Stranger, and the sermon title was, I Was a Stranger. So today we move to the next one, which the sermon title is, I Was Naked. I didn't really think about it because, you know, I'm just going through the passage saying, well, this is just the different categorizations that Jesus gives in this passage, until I drove into church this past week and saw the sign on the road out here that said, I was naked. I really honestly expected to see a lot more visitors today. I mean, if you're unchurched and you drive by a sign that says, I was naked, you're going to kind of scratch your head, right? What in the world are they preaching about today? And I also noticed that Alice, who usually is pretty good about finding creative bulletin covers, really didn't find one for this week. I was naked, there's no, yeah, it just said Lent. That was very safe, Alice, very safe. I was expecting, you know, this or something. So that's good, I appreciate that. If you are visiting today, you came because of the sign, I apologize, there's nothing to see here. When we consider this passage, what Jesus is doing and he's talking about is that as long as you care for those around you who are in need, you have cared for me. This is kind of this repeating thing. And so we want to talk a little bit about each of these areas and how we can speak to them in our own lives and in our own communities. And we would consider clothing to be a basic need of humankind, right? I mean, it's just basic. I think I was really struck by that when I was reading the story of Viktor Frankl, who was a Jewish person in the Holocaust. He was incarcerated and put into a POW camp. And the way he describes the clothing that they had to wear was basically it wasn't even worthy of a scarecrow, is the way he said it. It was just awful, the rags that they had to wear and their emaciated bodies. And as they starved, and he's a doctor, a medical doctor, and he just said, all of your muscle and fat just deteriorates away and you have nothing. And he said when they would go out in the winter to do work in the fields, and he said they were just so cold, they could think of nothing else but the mind-numbing cold. And then when the spring thaw came and they were no longer cold, he started to say, gosh, we realized just how hungry we were. But the coldness had struck. And I think that really strikes me when we consider what it means to be well-clothed. I mean, it's just a basic need, more basic in a cold climate than food almost, because, as he said, I didn't even realize how hungry I was until I was warm enough to feel that hunger. Clothing is a basic need. It protects us from the elements. It covers our nakedness. And it gives each person a sense of dignity, right? I'll never forget. I mean, so as I'm studying and preparing for this Sunday, I start thinking, well, how many times did we talk about nakedness and clothing in the Bible? And we get all the way back to the very beginning, right? Genesis chapter 2, and I'll never forget the first time, or not the first time, but one time I was reading with a couple in premarital counseling, and I read chapter 2, verses 18 and following, when it talks about God establishing marriage. And at the very end of chapter 2 of Genesis, the second chapter in the Bible, it says, and the man and his wife were naked, and they felt no shame. And I read that to a couple, and the bride, who was an unchurched person, burst out laughing. She thought that was so funny that they talked about nakedness in the Bible. And really, I mean, if you were paying attention to what Xander read earlier, the Bible's pretty earthy. It kind of talks about some pretty basic stuff. And sometimes we hear it and we say, can you say that in church? We're reading the Bible. And yet it's some pretty earthy stuff, right? So the man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. I would never forget when I read that to that couple and the bride started laughing and I thought, well, we're pretty much done. She could not stop giggling the entire rest of the time. Clothes are also a status symbol, right? When you see somebody dressed a certain way, do you immediately kind of make a assumption about who they are, what generation they are, what kind of job they have? I know I work down here during the week, and we go out to lunch, and you can always tell the lawyers. They're always dressed the same way. They always look the same way. Obviously, certain people wear a costume, or they have uniforms, things like that as well. In the Old Testament, when Joseph predicted the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine, the Pharaoh was so excited that he put him in charge of everything. But one of the things that happened was he said, I'm going to give you a new outfit. Kind of a status symbol, a new outfit. Samson, that great Old Testament judge, made a bet for 30 pieces of clothing. Because clothing was a sign of wealth. And so he made a bet with that. When Daniel survived the lion's den, we all know about Daniel in the lion's den. When he survived, what did the king do the morning after? Gave him a new outfit. It's just kind of an interesting thing how clothes, what we wear, is a symbol of who we are, right? And then we get to Jesus. And Jesus always mixed things up, right? So what did he say in the Sermon on the Mount? If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give them your coat as well. What? This is my stuff. How dare you take my stuff? And let's face it, men and women are a little different about clothes, right? Can I get an amen on that? Guys will hold on to a shirt for decades. Is there a problem with that? I know. I have some shirts that I'll put it on and I'll go, oh, this is the last time I'm wearing it, but it ends up in the laundry and I bring it back out again. I just can't help it. It's special to me. Even though, yeah, there's probably a reason why I'm still single. And women, they love to get new stuff, right? And then, of course, men, when they go shopping, they're a little different, right? Men are hunters, women are gatherers, so men go in, they know exactly what they want, they see what they want, they target it, they go, they grab it, they take it off, is it the right size? Great, this is what I'm buying. Women, this looks good. They're gatherers, right? 10 items into the dressing room, take them all home, bring 9 of them back the next week. How many of you do that? All right, confession. Xander raised his hand. Oh. That's awesome. I don't think I ever take things back. But clothes are kind of important to us, right? Don't you feel it's important to dress a certain way? You want people to see you a certain way. Clothes are important to other people too. And so if we can help other people feel good about who they are, that's what Jesus is talking about. Primarily talking about that which protects us. If we don't have any clothes at all, we need clothes to take care of ourselves. There's a spiritual side. I told you when we started this series, I'd talk a little bit about the spiritual side. But I don't want to over-spiritualize this passage because I think Jesus is talking about the basics here in life. The spiritual side, of course, is in the Old Testament, when they talked about the Holy Spirit coming upon a person, it was called the Shekinah. Shekinah. Everybody say Shekinah. Shekinah, yes. And that actually literally means cloaking. It's like a coat that descends and surrounds the prophet, and the prophet begins to prophesy. So the Shekinah of the God came upon a person and they started. So that's kind of the spiritual side of the cloaking of a person. In Proverbs, they talk about a virtuous woman being clothed in strength and dignity. That kind of, that just who we are as a person is what we wear kind of thing. But Paul, and I love this, Paul, the Apostle Paul talks about baptism as putting on the clothes, from Galatians chapter 3, it says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So, you know, we talk about baptism, washing away the sins, about dying with Christ and being resurrected with him. But Paul also mentions that as we are baptized, it's like we're putting on a new garment. We're taking on a new personality, as it were, of Jesus Christ, cloaking us like the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, like this Shekinah. So clothing changes a person's status in the New Testament. And that shouldn't be really a surprise for us. If we see someone who's well-dressed, we think one thing. And if we see someone who's poorly dressed, we think another thing. We judge people by what they wear. I had an English professor in college. He never tired of telling the story of a Baptist church in his hometown that decided right before Easter, so it would be about this time of year, the Baptist church decided that they were going to do an all-out kind of thing of going into the city to invite people to church for Easter Sunday, which is probably a good thing, and you should start doing that now as Easter is coming up in 3 weeks. And so they went across the street. The pastor himself went across the street, and there was a large family that lived in the house across the street, and he said, we just want to invite you to come to our church on Easter Sunday. And the father kind of pulled him aside and said, look, we would love to come to your church, but we just don't feel comfortable because we don't have any clothes to wear. So the pastor said, you know what? I'm going to take you to the mall. We're going to get clothes for you and your wife and your 5 kids, just so you'll feel comfortable to come to church. And so they did. And Easter Sunday rolls around. The pastor looks out, and the family was nowhere to be seen. So that week he went back across the street, and he said, hey, we bought you all those clothes, and you didn't come to church. What's going on? And the guy said, well, pastor, we got dressed on Easter morning, and we looked so good, we felt like we should probably go to the Episcopal Church. They dress a little better over there, apparently. Hey, sorry. So we judge people by what they wear. And so by helping people get clothes, we not only protect them from the elements, but we also clothe them with dignity. And that's a big part of what we're about here at First Presbyterian Church. We're not just about helping people, but we're about treating people with dignity, building relationships with people. Jesus separates the sheep and the goats based on their care of others. This goes back to this Ezekiel passage, this fascinating passage from Ezekiel that Ezekiel says, because one person does one thing and treats those around them a certain way, they will be judged by that. The next generation may treat people completely different. They will be judged by that. This is speaking to that passage that says the sins of the father will descend upon the son and from generation to generation. And Ezekiel says, yes, but the consequences of sin will affect the next generation, but each generation is judged on their own actions. And so father treats people well, son treats people poorly, grandson treats people well. Each is judged by how they treat those in need. And then we come to this story in Acts. I love this story in Acts. How many of you remember the Dorcas group that we used to have here? I know all the youth are going, Dorcas? Because that's kind of a way of saying dork, right? Which is kind of a funny word. But in Acts chapter 9, beginning of verse 36, I'm in chapter 10. I was like, that's not right. Chapter 9, beginning of verse 36. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. So that was a person's name. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there in Joppa sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all outside, and then he knelt down and prayed, and he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. So obviously, this is one of the miracles that the disciples performed after Pentecost. And that's probably the primary point of this story. But Dorcas was known for making clothes for widows who could not afford clothes. In those days, if a woman had lost her husband, she lost all source of income. And so she was in desperate straits. And Dorcas was one who continued to make clothes. And that's why we had a sewing circle named Dorcas here that used to make little blankets for newborn babies and all kinds of things to continue to minister to those in need. And that's kind of the attitude we want to have here of clothing people, taking care of the sick, of reaching out to the hungry and to the thirsty, doing everything we can to minister to those in need, doing what Jesus has called us to do. You know, the number one request in homeless shelters, socks. People who are living on the streets want new socks. It's something that goes taken care of quickly. The courtyard transitional shelter over here in the old bus terminal is trying to help people get homes and jobs. And if they show up for an interview, what happens? If they're dressed in worn out clothes, it's much more difficult for them to get a job. So here's several ways that we can follow Jesus' challenge to us. And they're actually written in your bulletin. There's a couple websites and addresses there at the bottom of the bulletin. First of all, citynet.org. I mentioned that last week. That's the group that is working with the courtyard. They actually request socks from time to time, all sizes, all kinds of socks. So I would invite you to go to that website. Also, Goodwill. We've all done Goodwill before. I would encourage you. There are two different Goodwill drop-off stations, one here in Santa Ana, one in Tustin, very close by. There's a group called Women Help Women. The website is WHW. This is for those of you who might have some nice clothes, gently used clothes that are nice business clothes. These are actually geared for women who are going in for interviews for jobs. And so they're trying to help them to dress in ways that they can present themselves in the best possible way. There's another option, an opportunity, and that's something that happens in our neighborhood on a monthly basis, the third Thursday, everybody say third Thursday of the month. Scott Overpeck runs it. It's called Laundry Love. How many of you have helped with Laundry Love? Okay, I have on a couple of times. You go? Good for you. That's awesome. So we're going to see a little video here of their fifth anniversary. They've been doing it for 5 years. It's just down the street here. Oop, back it up. So, Bobby, do we have the sound on that? That's a beautiful shot. We had it going earlier. There it is.
Well, I'm Scott Overpeck, and I'm
So that's kind of a creative way. Yes, you can clap. That's a creative way to help people be clothed, not only with clothing, but with dignity. And so I appreciate what Scott and the Laundry Love team is doing here. Encourage you, it's third Thursday, 7:30, actually, and the youth, maybe during the summer, because that's kind of a downtime for volunteers, because UCI sends a lot of volunteers in their way during the summer, might be something to do for the youth group this coming summer. So I want to encourage you, take Jesus' challenge. Feed the hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe those in need, care for the sick, visit the prisoners. Amen? Amen. Let's, in response to God's word to us, let's sing hymn number 408, Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life. We'll sing verse 1, 2, 5, and 6. Verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. I invite you to stand if you're able to do so.